Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the gospel lesson taken from the 9th chapter of Luke, where again we hear this series of challenging statements by our Lord Jesus. At verse 57, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is God's word. During a children's message, a pastor was asking the children questions, which is always dangerous at best. Questions like, "Will your parents let you do this? Why would your parents say no to that?" He wanted the kids to realize that parents demand some things and say no to others out of love. So then the pastor asked, "Why would your parents not just buy you whatever you want, whenever you want?" And a four-year-old very quickly replied, "Because they can't afford it." More information than the parents probably wanted to be revealed during a children's message, but there it is. That's because cost is crucial to just about everything that we do. As we learn from today's gospel, it's all about cost. There's even a cost for a life with God. The question is, are you willing to afford it? In verses 57 through 62, Luke tells us Jesus made three distinct challenges to those who were considering being his followers. The first is in response to the man who said, "I will follow you wherever you go." And we don't know why this man made that declaration. We can gather from Jesus' response about not having anywhere to lay his head that this man was looking for some type of gain, that there'd be a payoff for following Jesus. And his response indicates that material security cannot be the highest priority in a follower's life. Someone then says, "Let me go and bury my father," which sounds like a very legitimate request. And commentators don't agree on whether the father's death was imminent or not, but any way you go, the point is the same. Following Jesus must come first, not simply when everything is convenient, not simply when everything will work out with a minimum of distraction or shuffling of your schedule. Our following of Jesus cannot take second place to anything. It is the priority. The third instance is like the second in its request, but Jesus' reply provokes different thoughts, perhaps. "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Now, what does that mean? You may or may not be experienced at plowing, but most of us have tried to mow a lawn, probably. Have you ever tried to mow a straight line It was very important to my father that the lines be straight in the lawn. You ever tried to mow that straight line and be as perfect as you can, but then you look over your shoulder? Remember what happens if you look over your shoulder too long? You tend to pull in the direction that you look back in, and all of a sudden, your line isn't straight anymore. And I believe that's the biggest takeaway point from this passage, this statement regarding the kingdom. The point being, faith and following looks forward. Faith and following Jesus doesn't spend a whole lot of time dwelling on the past. Why is that important? Well, just out of my own experience, I've stood in churches where the focus is on the glory days that are now in the distant past. I've listened as people spoke wistfully about the days when the pews were full. Remember when people were ready to make a commitment? Remember when people were here week after week after week? Remember when? Remember when? And make no mistake, it's human nature to do this. This is the basis for all nostalgia that we feel as people. But nostalgia can go too far when we're convinced that the good old days were so good that there is nothing good left. That there is nothing good to look forward to. What Jesus is suggesting, and I think it goes far beyond suggesting, is that the nature of faith is to be forward focused. Even as faith is rooted in events, it depends on events that have happened in the past, but it's focused on the future. Here's what I mean as far as a church is concerned. If we remember that the mission Jesus has given His church is to make disciples and to baptize and to teach in His name, we're going to be moving forward. We're going to be moving out. We're going to be taking the good news of Jesus out to people. We won't pine for the good old days because we'll be occupied with extending the kingdom today. Now, we will look back with thankfulness. That is very much appropriate. But our eyes will be fully open to what God is doing today. Our imagination will be captured by the future that God is preparing for us. To truly do ministry means stepping outside of comfort and convenience and routine. That's what Jesus was getting at with these challenging statements. And the disciples in today's passage really misunderstood ministry. They misunderstood the cost of discipleship. How do we know? They encountered people who didn't welcome Jesus and immediately wanted to destroy them. That's the first part of today's gospel. That's not how business in God's kingdom is conducted. It's conducted in humility towards people struggling with sin problems. My particular sin problems may be different than yours, but it should create humility in both of us. And it's conducted with hopefulness that God is making things better. Indeed, He is making all things new. His words. Jesus' resurrection ensures that one day all injustice will be overturned. All that we've lost will be restored and then some. So why would we not make Jesus the focal point of our lives? In this gospel reading today, we meet the provocative Jesus. We meet the challenging Jesus. And again, the challenge is this. Will you commit to following him, especially when it isn't easy? Or will we say to Jesus, this is the way I like it, this is the way it has always been, therefore it's the way it should always be? Why let ourselves be challenged? Why inconvenience ourselves to make a commitment of energy, time, and resources? Why not get by with as little cost as possible? What if Jesus had done that? Didn't he pay the ultimate cost to gain you? It was Jesus who made the commitment to give his life. He did so willingly. He took no shortcuts. He did everything necessary to pay for salvation for you and me. He did not consider equality with God something to cling to hang on to. He did not look back as he was plowing. His devotion to you led him straight to the cross. This is what you and I are called to respond to live our entire lives in response to. Jesus didn't play it safe. He knew his goal. He knew why he had come. It was to seek and save the lost. He moved forward. Will you follow him? Will you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, your Son has urged us all to follow him into a life of victorious self-sacrifice and love for our neighbor that the world does not understand. He's called us to follow with urgency and to take the radical step of making this discipleship the number one thing among all the things in our lives. And this forces many choices. This is not natural for us. Lord, we need you to empower us, to send your Spirit into our hearts and minds, to even begin to make this possible. And we trust that you are doing that, that you already have started doing that, and will continue as you pour your grace to us through your word and sacraments. As we meet you at your table today, Lord Jesus, allow our hearts to burn for you and to burn for following you and to find our lives as we let other things go and walk in step with you. May our efforts, even our smallest efforts and choices, expand your kingdom today and moving into the future. We pray it in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.